We are quickly drawing near to the end of our Fruit of the Spirit sermon series about the evidences of a life that is led by the Spirit of God, not just being led by niceties or cultural commitments to one another of how we ought to treat one another and etiquette and things of that nature, but actual character change from within the heart. These are the character traits that the Spirit intends to lead all of God's children into. One of the things last week as we covered goodness that I did not remember to let you know is there's this verse in the Bible that I think is quite good that it says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, it's sin. And so as we consider the goodness of God and how that ought to impact our lives and to know what is right and wrong and what is good for someone else and what is not helpful for someone else, we also have to ask the question, are we committed to doing what is good, not just not doing what is wrong? We often talk about sin as though sin is something that we are to avoid doing, as though every act of sin is an actual act of itself. But actually, the Bible says that if you know that you should do something good and you choose not to do it, it's sin. It is sin to not do what is good. So I wanted to encourage us along those lines as we think about what we covered last week and as we go into this next week. So this week we are going to talk about the character trait, the virtue of faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of those words that it's long. We don't personally use it a whole lot in our everyday conversation, and yet generally speaking, we know what it is to be faithful. It is maybe a borderline Christianese word. If you grew up in church, you've probably heard the word faithful and faithfulness more frequently than other people in our culture today. But we do have, in some ways, that we use the word faithful in our culture. And one of the things is when we talk about a marriage and someone's been unfaithful to their marriage vows, we use the word there. There's not much else use of the word faithfulness, but we use the word faith in that, you know, people have faith, they practice their faith. So today I just want to take a quick moment to talk about faithfulness as the Bible teaches the word faithfulness. As with all of these traits, all of these fruits of the Spirit that we see, we find its purest, most clear definition of those words in the character of God himself. The Old Testament talks about the faithfulness of God all the time. And sometimes it's even connected with loving kindness, your faithful love, that kind of thing. So what does it mean for God to be faithful? One of the things that there's a couple different aspects of being faithful. And the first thing is that you completely fulfill your promises that you make. So as we consider God throughout the entire Old Testament and into the New Testament, is God faithful in fulfilling every promise that he makes to its complete end? And if you're not saying yes, you should be a little bit worried. God made his first promise in Genesis when he told them first that you should not eat of this tree, otherwise it will produce death. But then he also makes this promise, which kind of guides the entire narrative of Scripture, that said, I will bring a son through this woman who will crush the head of the serpent to set things back to the way they were and the way they were supposed to be. God makes many, many promises throughout the Bible, and a lot of those we call covenants. He makes a covenant with Noah's family, he makes a covenant with Abraham, he makes a covenant with David. And all of these covenants, we see God working throughout all of history, specifically in Israel and the nations around Israel, to fulfill those promises. Faithfulness requires that you fill all of the promises that you've made. God also is faithful in that he does what is right by everyone involved, and it is a good thing to do. It's hard to really relate completely to it. But when you make a promise to someone that you're going to help them and to do things, it's not enough to just do it, but it is required that you do it in a proper manner. One that is honest, one that is good for you and the other person. When we talk about people getting married and you make these promises on your wedding day that no matter if you're rich or poor or if you're healthy or sick, that you will stay true to one another, that you will love one another regardless of how you feel that morning, that we have to do that in a correct and righteous and a good manner. We can talk all day long about the faithfulness of God. In fact, Lamentations says how great is God's faithfulness. It is something that we can't fathom about God being faithful to his promises. And that every morning there are new chances for us to see God's faithfulness and mercy to us. In some ways, we can understand the word faithfulness to talk about being dependable. God is a trustworthy, dependable person. When he says he's going to do something, we know he is going to complete it. We don't have to be like, well, we'll see, we'll trust you with it this time and see how it goes. When God says he will do something, he will do it. And he is a dependable God. We see that even at great cost, God fulfills the promises that he makes. He's dependable, and he does it in a way that is good for us in the gospel. He made that promise in Genesis, fully knowing that it was going to take the life of his son in order to redeem humanity. Yet he made that promise and then guided all of history to the point where Jesus would then die on a cross for our sins, not for Jesus's or just as a blanket payment for anything, but he actually took our sin, and God knew that when he made that promise, and he still fulfilled it in a dependable, righteous fashion. Instead of only speaking about God's faithfulness, I want to talk today about how God's faithfulness then compels us to be faithful in our lives. We too need to exhibit, as the Spirit leads us, into the faithfulness like God has, to be careful what we promise and fulfill what we promise in a dependable manner that is good for everyone. It is not easy to be a faithful person. In some ways, we talk about being faithful in a Christian world, in a church. Just talk about, like, are you going to still hold on to Christianity to the end? As though that is the ultimate fulfillment of you being faithful to Jesus. Is, are you going to stay a Christian all the way till you die? And if you do, you're faithful. Sometimes we talk about being faithful in churches as though, like, you're here every Sunday or every time the doors open, therefore this makes you faithful because you showed up. I think we've often taken faithfulness and exchanged it for self-righteous fulfillment of our to-do lists, of things that make us look good, that are good. It's good that you come to church. I'm very thankful all of you came to church this morning. It is good that you are participating, but it is not the ultimate fulfillment of being faithful to just show up. It's also not the ultimate fulfillment of faithfulness just to keep saying, Jesus is my Savior till the day you die. Although, again, that is a good thing. So, if I'm telling you that that's not what faithfulness is, and that's what we talk about being faithful, and that's faithfulness, what am I saying ought to be the fulfillment of faithfulness as the fruit of the Spirit? First, I believe that the Spirit of God intends to lead all believers into this faithfulness, meaning that we fulfill completely every promise that we make. And we're all like, oh boy, because we make promises left and right that we don't fill. Sometimes it's well-meaning. Sometimes circumstances change and we can't fulfill our promises that we make. And I think that this is a first lesson in this kind of faithfulness is that we need to be careful about what we promise. The Bible actually forbids the Jewish people from making vows or swearing an oath by the name of God for this very reason, that we, by nature, are not dependable and faithful beings, as evidenced by the fact that we messed everything up in the Garden of Eden by disobeying one rule. We had one rule, and we couldn't handle it. The Bible teaches those who read it that we ought to take care of the things that we promise. Now, that there is some slight difference between just saying, I will try to do this, and I am going to make sure that this happens. I think we're aware of that being a difference, that when we make a promise or a vow, it is something serious that we need to be careful in. But the Jews were told, when you make a vow, don't get God's name involved, because God always fulfills his promises. So if you say, by God, I am going to do this, and you don't do it, it makes God look terrible and unfaithful and not dependable, someone who can't be trusted or relied upon. And so in the commandments and throughout the rest of Scripture, the people are told to not make promises and getting God's name involved in those promises and then not fulfilling them. I think that we, even as non-Jewish people, need to take the warnings of Scripture very seriously, that we become people who are very careful about what we promise. We need to understand who we are. That one, we are not God. We are not all-knowing. We are not all-powerful. We can't control circumstances. So when we promise to do something and it's not inside of our control, that's a dangerous thing. It's almost like claiming that you are God. We need to be careful with what we promise to others, what we say to people, because what we promise is how we are judged in being faithful to fulfill those promises, just like God is. Now, God gets to make any promise he wants to because he fulfills all of them. But we need to be careful what we promise. And then the things that we do promise, we need to do our best. And I mean our best, not like, well, I gave it a shot. We need to do everything we can to actually fulfill those promises. And if we're careful with what we promise, we won't have to be going around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to fulfill every promise that we made, because we only made very specific promises. I believe also that we need to be mindful of other people in what we do. We need to not just force our way through, as is the American Western way of climbing the ladder or making your life better, is just by bulldozing ahead and making sure everything that you want, you get. That is not faithfulness at all, to just run others over or to not care about other people's feelings. So let's look at Luke chapter 16 as we begin to see what is it that the Spirit of God wants us to grab onto about being dependable people who fulfill our promises and are found faithful. In Luke 16, this is one of those parables that we don't talk about a whole lot because it's taught the same lesson, sort of, in the one about the parable of the talents, where one person is given one talent, one person is given talents, and then they are told to do that, and it is the same lesson, but this is one of those where it's not as popular, but teaches the same lesson. So this is what Jesus teaches his disciples in Luke 16. There was a rich man, as it always is, with a manager or a steward, and charges were brought to the master that his man was wasting his possessions. So there's this rich guy, he has a servant who's in charge of the books, who's in charge of all the finances, and someone tells this rich guy, hey, your accountant is dwindling all of your things away and not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And so he called to the steward and said to him, "So what is this that I hear about you? I need you to give me your accounts, the books of what you've been managing. Otherwise, you can no longer be the manager." Depending on your translation, it might say, like, "I need you to give me the books because you're no longer the manager." Like, you're fired. And the manager said to himself, "What am I going to do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." And so he calls all the people that owe this rich guy money before he turns in the books. And he says, "Okay, so how much do you owe this rich guy?" And so they tell him, like, "I owe him 100 measures of oil. I owe him 100 measures of wheat." And he just starts, like, erasing bills left and right. He just is like, "You don't owe him that anymore." Right. Turn down. And he's doing this to gain favor in their sight so that when he finally gets fired, he's got some friends somewhere that will take care of him. And we're all like, "Oh, no." I mean, like, most of us, right, are like eating up in the inside. We're like, this is really bad, right? There is the commendation for his shrewdness, meaning like, okay, good move, right? Like, hey, way to take care of yourself. But it wasn't a foolhardy, like, "Hey, that was a great plan. Now I kind of want to keep you," type of a thing. So he gets fired for being dishonest in his accounts and his responsibilities. Verse 10, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is someone else's, who is going to give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted or faithful to one and despise the other. So therefore, you cannot serve God and money." The lesson here is that a person that can be relied on, someone who is going to do what they said they were going to do and work hard in order to do it, is going to do that regardless of the costs and regardless of the outcomes. If this man who had been accused of being a poor accountant, a poor steward of his master's possessions, was let go, was falsely accused of that, would then go and get the books, get everything situated properly, and turn them in and leave. Because a faithful person does not count the cost of what is going to be the right thing to do. They do it regardless of the cost. So this is what it says in verse 10. "One who's faithful in a little is faithful in much. One who's dishonest in a little is dishonest in much. But a faithful person is faithful in everything." And we're all like, "Oh boy." Because it's easy for us to be faithful in some things, right? It's easy for us to make promises and fulfill those promises and be dependable, show up on time, do things that are good for people in some things. But in all things, all the time, we are not faithful. Sometimes we can find it easy to be faithful at our workplaces, but much harder to be faithful at home. It's easy. I'm talking as a man, so I'm imagining this might be a man problem. It might just be me, so judge me as you wish. It's easy to make promises at work and say, "I'm going to get this done, and I'm going to make sure that this is taken care of, and I'm going to do it and fulfill it." Work as hard as we can and make it happen. But then we tell our family, is like, "I'm going to make sure that we get to the library, or we're going to go to the park." And we don't work nearly as hard to make those things happen. We're kind of like, "Well, if it doesn't happen on accident, you know, we'll just have to change the plan. Sometimes it's easy for us to be faithful in our diet and exercise, but not so easy to be found faithful in doing our chores. And I know I'm not talking to a bunch of people who live in the country who have chores, but our, you know, household responsibilities or the things that we need to do to make sure we're picking up after ourselves. Name the thing that's easy in your life to be faithful in, and that you can make the great promise and fulfill it and do it even in a way that is helpful for other people. And you can almost always find another part of your life where it's almost impossible to be faithful. Like, no matter how hard you actually try, like, you just keep making the wrong promises and you keep messing it up. And you, or if you're actually making promises and fulfilling those promises while you're doing that, you're actually causing more problems. The Spirit of God intends to lead us into the kind of faithfulness that God shows. And obviously we know in a fallen world, as with all of these virtues, we will never perfectly get this, but it is something that we ought to be striving for. So let's first be careful with what we promise. Then second, work hard to make sure that we fulfill those promises, and don't forget the last part of making sure that while you're fulfilling those promises, you're actually doing it in a way that is good for everyone. What this means is when we find something in our life that is hard to be faithful in, we must work harder to become faithful in those things. Now, we can often say, like, it's hard to be faithful in this thing, so, like, let's just pretend like that doesn't exist. Probably not as easy if that's your job. If it's hard to be faithful in your job, it's probably not as easy, but maybe you want to change your job or something along those lines. But if we find something to be challenging or hard, and we say, well, in order to be a faithful person, I'm just going to cut this out of my life, is not the right way to be a faithful steward. God has given you everything that's on your plate right now for a reason. To teach you to take care of the things that he has put in front of you. And if you can be faithful in small things, you can be faithful in larger things. However, if you're going to be lazy or dishonest or cheating, as this steward is, in small things, you will never become faithful in bigger things. And then the warning comes that you cannot serve two masters. You will either love one or hate another, or be devoted to one and despise the other. And Jesus says, therefore, you can't serve God and money. I don't want to make this sermon a sermon about how in America we tend to worship wealth and possessions, but I do think that it is worth mentioning in the fact that in our society, in our culture, it is a thing where we want to gain more and more. You don't generally see many people going around trying to, like, get rid of good things, right? We all want more and more. And in some ways, having things and having more isn't always bad. But I want to warn us, as I think Jesus warns us in this passage, that maybe we should be less concerned about getting more and more things, because then we're responsible for more and more things, and we have to be faithful in more and more things. Many of us are stressed out, overworked, tired, not sleeping, upset about how other people's lack of faithfulness is making it hard on us, and yet we still have this drive to get more and more. We want God to give us more and more blessings, but not more and more responsibilities. But that's not how this works. Everything you have, you are responsible for, because everything you have, God has given it to you because it's His. Your house, your car, your family, even your pets, are all things that God has given to you to manage. And the Bible says in many places, it is more important for people who are in charge of managing God's possessions that they are found faithful. Not hardworking, not talented, not rich, but faithful. God has left us in charge of his creation to manage that. He has caused people and things to come into our lives so that we have a responsibility to work diligently and faithfully in those. And a lot of times we just say, but God, I want more. And God's saying, I want you to be faithful in this stuff. And then you can be faithful in big things. We'll make this a little bit less on you, and we'll talk about me for a second. I've always liked to talk about running for president in 2028, right? I'll finally be old enough to run for president, and I want to be the one who like goes in and makes Congress actually do their job for once. But you can talk about wanting to be president all you want, right? But if you're not faithful in the things that you're supposed to be doing now, why in the world would we think that suddenly, now that everyone votes for you, that you're going to be faithful? Now, a less silly situation, let's talk about work, right? I've had a lot of time working on the management side of a smaller part. I've not ever been the upper guy, which is always nice because I don't get to have to make the hard decisions. I just get to make the easier ones. But I've had people telling me I want to be the team leader or the shift leader or this, that, or the other thing, but they can't manage to show up to work on time. Or if they need a sub, they don't find one. And they want to be in charge. They want more and more, probably money, you know, I want to get paid more, but they don't want to have the responsibility to be faithful in what they already have. Like when you're on the low end of the totem pole, things become very easy. And we talk about this that in the workforce, like realistically for Britain, if she just showed up and tried to do her job, she's probably going to outperform like 98% of her generation when it's time for them to work. But it's very easy to be faithful in little things like showing up to work on time, showing up and trying your best, right? It's easier to be faithful in those things, but it's not as easy to be faithful in the harder things, the things that are not just complicated and confusing, but in the things that have greater costs involved. Well, I think we need to start thinking about our lives that way. We need to be faithful in the things that we have and the promises that we make and the relationships that we are part of. That we need to be faithful to be dedicated to those things before wanting more. I think, you know, as I think Dave Ramsey would say, sometimes your house can be a blessing or it can be a curse, right? All of those things apply in our whole life that if we want God's blessing in our lives, God has said, be faithful in what you have, and then he will give you more. And you can be faithful in those things, and then he will give you more. But again, the warning here is that you can't serve God and money. So if you want just possessions and riches and all this other stuff, but you also want to serve God, you're not going to be faithful to both. You're going to have to pick one. And God says, like, if you can be faithful in the small things, you'll be faithful in the bigger things as well. But if you're going to be lazy or not trustworthy to take care of the things that you have right now, you'll never be trustworthy in bigger and better things. So when we consider the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, I think that sometimes we might be tempted to just exchange for faithfulness determination. I think determination is a good thing, where we make up our mind we're going to do something. But just making up your mind to do something is not faithfulness. Even if you try really, really hard, it's not faithfulness. Even if your determination equals success, it's not faithfulness. So I don't want you to hear this sermon today. I need to be more determined And I need to be better at making sure that I don't make promises I can't keep, keeping all the promises that I do keep, and making sure everybody around me is getting treated fairly and good according to what God has asked me to do. Determination is just something we decide we're going to do and execute, and sometimes it can border on wanting to be God. But faithfulness is actually a change of mindset in our hearts that acknowledges the things that we have are not ours, first off. That they're God's. Second thing is that it acknowledges that the stuff that we have doesn't go anywhere, doesn't come with us. I mean, you might be able to leave it to your next generation, but like in the end, the stuff that you have doesn't last. The things that we need to be faithful in more than anything else is our relationship with God. See, the warning is you can't serve God and money, so pick one. And it shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be a hard choice. It is. I'm not saying that it's not, but it shouldn't be. Especially for those who are God's children, choosing between God and our worldly possessions should be an easy, simple choice. God should win every time. Now, sometimes that makes it challenging, like, but I've got worldly possessions that I'm responsible for. Yes. But the thing that we need to be most concerned about being faithful in is our relationship with God. See, the relationship between this rich man and his dishonest manager was broken because the manager decided to do something he knew that the master wouldn't want him to be doing. He decided that he wasn't going to worry about people paying him back. I'm sure he was giving out loans to his friends that he knew they would never pay back, which is probably why he said, hey, come here, let me fix your bills before I turn the books in and leave on my last day. The relationship between the manager and the boss was divided to the point where the boss said, okay, you're fired. Leave. That was the issue, is that the manager wasn't going to be faithful to his master. He was going to be faithful only to himself. If we want to live this life in a way that the Spirit of God intends to lead us, so that our lives are evidences of the working of the Spirit, we must be faithful in our relationship to God. We must be dependent on God. You can live your life and not ever talk about God or talk to God or care about how God thinks you should do your life. And I think even be a Christian, but you're not choosing God to be faithful to. You're choosing other things. Faithfulness in your relationship to God will radically change your ability to be faithful in other things. Because when you have a relationship with the God who is completely faithful all the way to the point where he sends his son to die for your sins, that faithfulness will rub off on you. When you draw close to God, his character will be the not just the model, the one that you look at, but actually he will help work you into that model, and you will then begin to live it out in your life. Faithfulness, as I said earlier, is not something that is inherent to us. We are inherently unfaithful. We talk about how we talk about God's faithfulness in the Old Testament. What I didn't mention was most of the times you see God's faithfulness being declared is right next to the fact that Israel was being unfaithful. Great is God's faithfulness. That great verse is actually in Lamentations. Next to where God is bringing down judgment on his people for being unfaithful. When we see that we as sinners, those who have been impacted and born by sin, are not going to be faithful on our own, what we need to be is faithful in our relationship with the one who is faithful. We need to put him ahead of everything else on our list, everything else in the things that we value, above all the voices that we listen to, we need to have a right relationship with God in order for us to be faithful in anything. Otherwise, you're just a really hard worker, which businesses will love. Otherwise, you can be determined to be dependable in some things, and what the people who are impacted by those things will love it. And those are good things. But if we want to be entirely faithful as God is faithful, we need to be faithful in the little things so that we can be faithful in the big things. And that starts with being faithful in our relationship with God. And not just in the way it's like, I love God, and then go on with your day. That's not how relationships work, right? Let's ask Carolyn. Like, Carolyn, if I just said like, oh, I love you, and just went around and did whatever I wanted the rest of the day, that's not going to work, right? That's not being faithful in a relationship. It's not also being faithful in a relationship to just like say hi on the sidewalk and smile and whatever, right? Being faithful in a relationship takes a lot of work, but it's worth it, especially when you're having a relationship with one who's faithful, who wants to have a relationship with you, who actually caused the entire course of human history so that you can actually have a relationship with him. And this will radically change how you live out faithfulness in your everyday life. I think most of us want to be dependable people, want to be trustworthy, want to be responsible. Very few of us just want to go around and be lazy and no one care if they can trust us or not. But if we want to be that level of faithfulness, like God is faithful to us, we need to be faithful in our relationship and caring about what he thinks and what he wants, and we will be faithful in other things. We'll be faithful at work. We will be faithful at home. We will be faithful with how we treat our bodies. We will be faithful with the tasks that we have that maybe we don't like, but we know it's our job to take care of. Faithfulness in our relationship to God will produce faithfulness in lots of different places in our lives. Dear Father, we thank you that you are a God who is faithful to unfaithful people. That your love doesn't change based on if we're doing what you want us to do or not. That you have provided a way for us to have a relationship with you even when we hated you, even when we were your enemies and wanted you to go away. You drew near to us. We thank you for the gospel that shows your faithfulness to us, and even as we live our lives now as believers, when we choose to sin and be unfaithful to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we confess them. We pray that we would learn to be faithful in how we have a relationship with you, and that that would change how we are faithful in the things that are put on our plate by you to be responsible, to be dependable in. We pray that we would not be satisfied to be faithful or dependable or trustworthy in some things, and specifically the things that are easy, but that we would be faithful in even the little things that don't have much cost, but that we would be faithful in all the things that you have given to us to be faithful in. And we pray that that faithfulness would be a beacon of your goodness to the world, and that would change our lives and our relationships in our families, in our workplaces, in town, and around the country, that we would be led by your Spirit into faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.